Hi there, Rachel here. If you're listening to this episode in May of 2024, I have some big news. After selling out during the holiday season, my Flex of Gold journal is available for pre-order right now and will be shipping to your home by the end of June. To celebrate, we're running an amazing pre-order sale for Mother's Day. Purchase the journal before May 13th and you'll get $10 off every journal. This is our best price of the year, even better than Black Friday, so it's the perfect time to stock up for gifts for family and friends. This three-year journal helps mothers to notice, savor, and write down the fleeting golden moments that they experience with their children each day. So go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to reserve your copy, and you'll also see our brand new cover colors, as well as our new cover option, which is a wipeable vegan leather. So again, go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to pre-order your journal, and from now until Mother's Day 2024, they'll be marked down by $10 each. I can't wait for you to experience the magic of this beautiful gratitude journal for mothers. You're listening to 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, and this episode is sponsored by Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. My communications manager, Molly, says that it's feeling like spring in her town in Oklahoma, and she has been loving her new Winnie sneakers from Vionic in bright white. She recommends everyone get a pair of white shoes because they go with everything. Molly and her kids walk to school through their neighborhood, and the Winnie sneakers are perfect to transition from work to walking with kids and running errands after. Vionic also has a range of boots and shoes perfect for whatever weather you're experiencing right now, designed to keep you comfortable without sacrificing fashion. Not to mention, their shoes feature innovative VioMotion technology that supports your natural alignment, providing stability and relief with every step. Use code 3in30 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at www.vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's code 3in30 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. One-time use only, Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. Hello, my friends. I'm so excited to bring you this bonus episode with my friends from the podcast, Didn't I Just Feed You? The hosts, Stacy and Megan, are both moms with culinary degrees and cookbook writing experience, but they are dedicated to helping normal parents like you and me who don't love cooking all the time to get dinner on the table for our families with more ease and joy. I hope you caught my main episode on Monday this week because I shared the audio recording of my guest appearance on their podcast, Didn't I Just Feed You? They interviewed me about my three takeaways for how overwhelmed moms can declutter our mom guilt, stress, and shoulds around feeding our families. And today's bonus episode is the second half of that conversation. Stacy and Megan often spend the second half of their episodes unpacking together what they just learned from their guest. So the guest comes on for the interview, then the guest leaves, and Stacy and Megan discuss how they can use what they learned in their real lives. It's a really cool format, and it was fun for me to get to listen in as these two awesome ladies applied my three takeaways to their experiences with feeding their families, specifically their experiences with meal planning for their families. So if meal planning is a challenge for you, like it is for me, I know you are going to relate to this lively conversation between two mom friends who get it. Before we dive in, I also wanted to mention that throughout this excerpt, you're going to hear them reference a meal planning tool that they were working on at the time that we recorded this. They were getting it ready to release. And I am so happy to report that since we recorded this episode back in December, they have in fact launched this incredible new meal planning resource for moms. It's an audio course called Meal Planning for Everyone, which includes 12 lessons, 4 exclusive guest interviews, including from a former guest of 3 and 30 and a Food Network star, Kelsey Nixon, and it comes with access to a brand new meal planning community. You'll learn realistic strategies for overcoming the overwhelm and roadblocks of meal planning and create a customized system that works for your family. You can use the code 3and30 for 10% off this brand new audio course. And they've also created a free resource for us, which includes their meal plan template, which you can find at didn'tijustfeedyou.com/3and30. So I will link both of those resources in the show notes in case you could use some meal planning support from these super wise and relatable women. And with no further ado, here's an excerpt from Didn't I Just Feed You podcast with Stacy and Megan discussing how they're going to apply my takeaways for decluttering mom guilt and shoulds to their process of meal planning for their families. So let's get into it.
Welcome to Didn't I Just Feed You,
a podcast about feeding kids.
Megan.
Stacy.
We have a lot to talk about.
Yes, you know I'm excited about talking about meal planning because I identify as a meal planner, but I know that you also don't. So it's going to be a really good exercise for us.
You know what's so funny? I have not said this in a lot of episodes over like several years now. Somehow, like 5 years ago, Megan, you were like, I'm the meal planner. And I was like, I'm the meal prepper. That has worked for us because that's where our passions lie. But in actuality, I need to tell you that for like literally the last 4 years, I meal plan almost every single week. I totally meal plan. I just don't have the same kind of passion for it. Like there's some, like I get why it's hard for some people, but I meal plan every single week.
This is very useful information to have now. 4 years later, we are going to have to digest this. Maybe in like couples partnership therapy, something. There's so much here. But I want to get right into our conversation.
Yeah. Okay. There's a good reason why I revealed in this moment here today actually a meal planner too, because I think that there are so many different ways to meal plan. We're going to be coming out with a meal planning tool really, really soon. And I really believe that it took the two of us like thinking about it professionally, but then thinking about the very different ways that we come into meal planning and where meal prepping fits to really come up with something that's expansive and works for everyone, even people who do not identify as a meal planner.
Yes.
Right? I think our conversation with Rachel is a great place to begin because Rachel really broke down these three basic principles, and it makes starting to think about it, like the systems, the assumptions, the approaches, and like where we want to rejigger things. And I just really like how Rachel talks about inventory, edit, enjoy. It aligns really well with what you and I talk about here on Didn't I Just Feed You? So can we like dig into this a little bit in respect to meal planning specifically? Because meal planning is one of those tasks that if you can figure out how to do it in a way that works for you, which we'll help you with, it kind of naturally takes these three steps and makes them work for you.
Yes. And the other thing is that we would both say, I shouldn't speak for you anymore, obviously, because it's in a dangerous place. But if you feel overwhelmed by feeding your family, if you want to declutter any aspect of feeding your family, of the ins and outs, the three meals a day plus snacks, starting with meal planning is the best place to start for most people. And we talk about this a lot personally, and like also within this tool that we're creating, how even if you're standing at the fridge at 5 o'clock deciding what to eat, you're still meal planning.
I agree. And like the only difference, I want you to speak for me forever and ever. I love speaking for each other. But like it is the best. I agree with you. But one little, like as the person who was the obviously reluctant one to identify as a meal planner, I'd say it is the best, but if that scares you, it's just been proven over the many years that you and I have been talking to each other and doing this professionally and helping other people and fielding DMs and all of that stuff. It just proves the most effective.
It really does. It's like the annoying thing that actually really works. So let's figure out a way to make it work for you guys, even if you think you can't do it or you won't do it.
So this is the thing I'm super excited about using Rachel's process, because I think it's going to, one, reveal parts of our own personalities, but also really hit on some of the pain points for people who might be reluctant meal planners or people who are already meal planning and it doesn't feel like it's working for them.
Yeah.
So let's start with inventorying some shoulds, and we don't have to go in order, but I think I used to think I had to meal plan for a whole week at a time.
I love
it. And lock in 5 meals for the whole week.
Yep. You don't have to do that. I used to think that you had to meal plan the entire meal. So the main, what the side would be, and what the vegetable would be. I still find that useful in some seasons. But when I don't have the bandwidth to do it, it used to be that I would fall off meal planning altogether because it's like, I can't do it. But when I let go of that should, and even just jotting down tacos, this, that, spaghetti, it doesn't seem helpful, but it always is.
Yes. One of my shoulds is that I should plan something different every single week.
That's a good one. Yeah. Really good one. One of my shoulds is that I had to be the one to come up with all the meal ideas.
Ooh. Okay. One of my shoulds was that I needed to spend a lot of time meal planning each week for it to be actually useful.
One of my shoulds, and actually I carried this into Didn't I Just Feed You for a few years, was that like you love to bullet journal and like you had a whiteboard in your kitchen and like
still do.
Yeah. Okay. So as part of your meal planning identity, like those kinds of traditional planning tools were really good for you. And then I even had Mike push back a couple of times and be like, well, like if we had a tool that I could see too, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a tool person. Like I just need my little notes and my phone and I've got it and I'll find a different way to disseminate the information if I have to. But like it used to be that I should have some sort of tool that needed to be formalized. And I just don't.
That's amazing.
Any other shoulds?
One of my shoulds is that meal planning would be like all or nothing. Either I'm like fully committed to meal planning for the whole week and I'm going to meal plan every meal, or I just shouldn't do it at all.
Yeah, I can relate to that too. One of my shoulds, also that I carried into Didn't I Just Feed You? Maybe we do need a therapy session, Megan. That to really be a meal planner, I had to do it through all these different seasons. My kids are a lot older now, and I wanted to carry an identity. And I think that was part of why I latched on to like, I'm the meal prepper, you're the meal planner. Like having categories is really like nice and neat and appealing to me. But I'm a meal planner. I declared it here today. And sometimes I go months without meal planning. Lately, I've been doing it really, really consistently, but there have been seasons in my motherhood when I couldn't and I just didn't have the energy. But that doesn't mean I'm not a meal planner.
Mm. Yes, it doesn't.
I think that like really expanding an idea of what a meal planner is would help more people actually meal plan, because it's so easy to be like, ah, that's not something I do, or that's not something I'm good at.
Yeah, and it is one of those things that's been taken over by like planner community, social media, and it's like, this is what it should look like.
Yeah.
You should have a printed calendar and it should be all filled out. And that ain't it for most of us.
Yeah.
It truly is not.
Totally.
One of my shoulds, and you helped me dissolve this or work through this, is that meal planning and meal prep had to go hand in hand, and that one always went before the other.
That's a really good one. They don't. Okay. These are a lot of shoulds. A lot of them that we really like reflected on before building our tool. But let's just talk about editing too.
Yeah. Okay. So we can't we can't edit every single one of the shoulds that we mentioned, but I'll just hit on a couple and then maybe you can share a couple. I would say one of my biggest edits for meal planning was I stopped planning just based on like days of the week. Now I come up with like 3 to 4 dinner ideas, 2 lunch ideas, 2 or 3 breakfast ideas, and then I can move them around in the week so that like, oh, I had planned tacos tonight, but like actually something came up and I don't have the time for that. So I'm just going to move our takeout night to tonight so I can like plan my work and then work my plan, which is one of our Didn't I Just Feed You meal planning idioms. I've created flexibility within my meal plan.
That's such a good one. I think a lot of people will really love that and relate to that because one of the biggest pieces of feedback that we really took into consideration when creating our meal planning tool was that people would say, I know I said I was going to make tacos on Monday, but like, I don't feel like tacos. And it's like, guys, you don't have to be fixed on that. Like,
that's okay. So real.
Like, but it is. It's a very real thing. I totally agree with you. I would say that having a preconceived notion that I had to be organized in a very specific and frankly, going back to your point about like the planning community and social media, a very like aesthetic and particular way was one of my biggest edits that like knowing I could be organized in my disorganization. So my family jokes, like my house is always so neat and I like the flower in the place and the, you know, like everything put away, but you can open a closet. Like sometimes it's organized, sometimes it's an avalanche and everything will fall out. And I'm like, but I can't see it. Like I just like everything around me to look beautiful. And then like what's behind the doors is a little bit of a mystery. So I know that part of my way sometimes is to be organized in a disorganized way. So like sometimes my meal plan is in voice memos to myself. Sometimes it's in my little notes document. Like sometimes I carry things over and say like, oh, this was a winner. And I put it on this other sheet that I keep a running list of things at work. And sometimes I don't. But letting that be okay and like just continuing on the process, however the process looks that week, whatever works for my energy and my attitude and my whatever bandwidth I have that week, it's okay. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it however it gets done has been a really big one for me. That edit, allowing that for myself, was really huge in becoming really regular and committed to a practice that in the end helps me so much.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break to thank this episode's sponsors. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin, skincare products formulated with OS1, the first ingredient scientifically proven to reverse skin's biological age at the molecular level. I'm learning all kinds of great things about skincare lately, and friends, did you know it's important to shift your skincare routine with the seasons? Things like dry, flaky skin, redness, even fine lines and wrinkles are a reflection of what's happening at the cellular level. It makes sense that our skin changes throughout the seasons, and now I'm thinking about what I can do to give my skin some TLC to stay healthy as warmer weather approaches. I have been loving the OneSkin Face Topical Supplement to use after I take off my makeup at night to keep my skin moisturized as well as I sleep. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code 3in30 at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code 3in30. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them that we sent you. New year, healthier skin, that's OneSkin. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin.
Okay, I want to talk about the joy part.
Oh, I love this part. This part's the easiest part for me.
I feel like this is the easiest part for me, but I think that's also because we are people who love food.
Yeah, totally.
And
I was going to say that.
We love cooking. We love the process of cooking. And I wonder if it's much harder for other people.
I agree. I was so glad that Rachel created space for people who might feel differently than us, because this is what we started Didn't I Just Feed You for this reason, right? Like when you get food professionals talking to people about food, sometimes the audience is self-selecting and only people who love food or are interested in cooking are going to come to the publication and read the piece. But when you're talking to families, right, you're talking to busy parents, they have to feed their kids. So not everybody who's coming to your podcast or your article is there voluntarily. You know what I mean? And like,
yes,
making sure that we're very aware of the fact that like all of our advice and tips comes from a place of loving cooking and food enough to make it our profession has been a North Star for you and me, because there are so many food professionals who write to parents and they're like, and isn't this fun? And like, have the people like,
so
no,
lovely.
Hell no,
you're
going to
stir your risotto for 25 minutes. Like, and then immediately X out the page. Goodbye.
Yes, exactly. So I'm really happy that Rachel made space for people who might feel differently than us about food. But for moi, part of the joy for me is it's very easy for me to lean into cooking what I want to cook for myself. I have older kids. I'm not as anxious about what they eat or they don't eat. They like spicier things. They're fairly adventurous. So like that part is easy and like really feeds my soul because I love food so much and I love cooking and eating. But also I'm going to say that like letting go of some of my shoulds so that I would become consistent with meal planning was also a recognition of the joy that I get when I don't have to panic at the last minute. I hate that. I hate being at the fridge at 6 p.m. and being like, oh, what am I going to cook? Even though I have the skills to riff and make a delicious meal, during the work week, that is not what brings me joy. And I think I carried around a little bit of feeling like, but I can and I should. And like, isn't that part of the joy of being a food professional? Sure, when I have all the time in the world and I haven't worked all day and I haven't like schlepped this one to the dentist and picked this one up at practice. Like as a busy working mom, Monday through Friday, like I realized that I got joy just from like being a ninja in the kitchen, going to the kitchen at the very last minute because I'm always working until the last minute, knowing what I'm going to make, making it, eating it, let's go, done, check.
I love that so much. And I think that's like the practical thing. We're looping back to this idea of like, if you're already overwhelmed, taking the time to create some space is actually going to make you feel less overwhelmed, which is its own kind of joy.
Totally.
And pleasure.
So what about your joy?
I mean, there's lots of like very fluffy things I can share with you about like how when my kids were young, being able to like bake with them and add sprinkles really helped me have a lot of food joy in the slog of that season. But the most like very real and very Didn't I Just Feed You thing was figuring out fast food Wednesdays. Like,
yeah, that has been lately a big thing. Yeah.
Yes, I know I've shared it. We talked about it with Rachel, but that's more of like a euphemism for a greater thing, which is like planning the ease, putting the ease on the calendar and saying, I don't have to cook every single night, having that permanent permission slip to give my kids their own kind of food joy too, because my 11-year-old, oh, she's 12 now, my 12-year-old is very into fast food. She thinks that is fun. That's like peak dining for her. And so to be able to give that to her on a seasonal basis when we have sports practice is such a win for both our time budget, our financial budget, but also it does a weird like healing thing for me and my relationship with food and how I felt about what it meant to serve my family fast food.
Yeah, this goes back to what Rachel was saying. That's why I do think that our conversation with Rachel really feels like a great first step to kind of question some of your stuff and then start to apply it in all these different ways across your motherhood, across how you feed your family, including meal planning.
Yes. So Rachel promised us a worksheet that you can download at 3and30podcast.com/ DIJFY. And then we really want to make sure that you guys are signed up for our newsletter so that you can be the first to know about our very exciting meal planning tool.
I'm so excited about it.
Okay. I love those ladies. They are every bit as fun and generous and relatable in real life as they seem on their podcasts. And I love the permission they give to all of us to do meal planning and family feeding in our own way, in a way that fits us and brings us joy. Even though this wasn't a typical 3 and 30 episode, I do want to recap their three takeaways for you because I know these recaps are often my listeners' favorite part, so you can actually remember what you just learned and listened to. So here we go. Takeaway one, inventory your unrealistic expectations around meal planning. What do you believe you should do in order to make meal planning worthwhile? And can you start to challenge some of those shoulds? A few that Stacey and Megan mentioned were, I should plan for a whole week of meals at one time. I should meal plan the entire meal, including sides. I should create a different meal plan every week instead of frequently repeating dishes. I should use a fancy or pretty meal planning tool or a whiteboard or visible system instead of just using a note in my phone. None of these shoulds is true. Meal planning doesn't have to look any one way, and that's why it's important to verbalize some of the stories you're telling yourself about meal planning so you can challenge them if you want to, which leads to takeaway number two. Edit the expectations around meal planning that don't fit you. Give yourself permission to do things differently than your mother did or your best friend does or the gurus on Instagram say you should do. This is why Stacey and Megan titled their audio course Meal Planning for Everyone, because it can be for everyone and everyone can do it their own way. Which leads to takeaway number three. Enjoy the meal planning process by allowing yourself to think outside the box. The more we can make room for joy in our daily care tasks as parents, the more likely we are to actually keep up with those care tasks. So write Fast Food Wednesday on your meal plan. Plan a dinner that you love to eat, even if you know your kids will probably just eat the rice on the side. And I loved Stacey's point that just having the discipline to meal plan, as hard as that might be in the moment, will in fact allow for more joy around feeding your family, because there is nothing that kills joy quite like staring into an empty fridge at 6 p.m., knowing that your minions are starving and you've got nothing to feed them. So if you, like me, are feeling motivated to actually commit to meal planning and get this drudgery task figured out in your home, you have several options for support from Stacey and Megan. You can subscribe to their fabulous podcast, Didn't I Just Feed You? You can get a free meal planning template by going to didntijustfeedyou.com/3and30. Or you can purchase their new audio course, Meal Planning for Everyone, and use the code 3and30 for 10% off. So many options, so much goodness for overwhelmed parents just trying to get dinner on the table. My friends, I am so grateful you joined us for this double header episode this week, part one on Monday and part two on Thursday. I sincerely hope it will be very helpful and motivating to you as you feed your family. The three steps I walked Stacey and Megan through in these episodes, inventory, edit, make room for joy, are the basis for my Declutter Your Motherhood course. And you're going to be hearing more about that audio course in a few weeks because I'm planning a spring sale, so stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, I am rooting for you, and I hope you have a beautiful week with your family.